Turn your Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading verses 6 through 9. We've got a lot of help coming our way tonight. You know, the Lord is our helper.
Yes.
And our strength in a time of need.
Yes.
And the Lord knows we really need it today, don't we?
Amen.
All over the world, but especially now in America, and things we're going through, we need God. We need the Lord. Like on our paper money, it says, "In God we trust." Well, we are to do that. We don't wait on somebody else to do it. You do it, and somebody else will do it, and somebody else, and before you know, it'll be more trusting.
That's right.
You got trust in the Lord. Amen.
That's right.
All right. I gave you a little printout here tonight to help us focus on what we're talking about. I'm not pastor right now. I had resigned because of health, and my wife had passed away after 52 years of marriage.
Wow.
And I had some health issues, and so I had to resign the pastorate. But still love the Lord, still serve the Lord.
Yes.
And so this is one opportunity I always look forward to. But all right, we're in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 6. The Apostle Paul writing the church of Galatia, and some of them that had received the gospel had began to drift away in their faith, or
yes,
fade away in their faith.
That's right.
So he's writing to them concerning that. Verse 6. And it really marveled Paul. He says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel."
Wow.
"Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." That means corrupt it. "But though we," now listen to this, he says, "though we," Paul says, "even me," or those that were with me, "when we came to you bringing the gospel," he said, "even if we come back, or if an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed."
Yeah.
Hmm.
"As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Wow. You know, what I'm concerned about today is religion. I'm concerned about man-made religion.
Yes. That's
I'm
right.
Concerned about man-made doctrines and ideologies and philosophies that have developed into religions. And that's one of the biggest arms or tools of the devil in any generation. That is to confuse people about truth.
Yes.
Satan hates the truth.
Yeah.
We can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and find that out. You know, when God says, "If ye eat of that fruit, ye shall die." And then, you know, the devil comes along later speaking through the vocal cords of the serpent and says, "You won't die, you'll become as gods."
Yeah.
So you see, Satan hates the truth because he knows it brings deliverance, it brings help, it brings power, it brings understanding.
Amen.
It brings sober-mindedness, it brings peace and joy and happiness in the Lord. Satan hates salvation message. I tell you, he hates the truth, but he hates the truth about salvation particularly.
Yes.
And so Satan, I believe there's a devil, you know. We got graduates coming out of seminaries today. They don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in salvation by
yes,
grace through faith.
That's right.
They don't believe in hell. They don't believe, some of them don't even believe in heaven. Well, what in the world are they preaching?
Yeah.
Philosophy, psychology.
Yes.
They're preaching psychology.
Yes.
Psychology never took a sin away, never delivered a person from the power of sin, and will never give anybody a hope of heaven. Psychology is just psychology, amen?
Yes.
Hey, we're so complex, can't nobody figure us out but God anyway.
Yes.
All right, so Satan's out to change it, you know, and he wants the world to think that nobody can know anything beyond this world concerning eternity and stuff like that. He doesn't want us to understand that we can know where we're going when we leave this world.
Right.
Or that if we die, that's just it. The body goes back to dirt, becomes, it's only worth what fertilizer's worth. and he doesn't want us to believe we have a soul or a spirit. So he changes the truth. or he adds to the truth. You know, most of your false religions have added to the Bible. They have added another book, and we might mention that again later. If he can't add to the truth or change it, he brings confusion. He brings religious confusion into a nation of people. You know, I was telling Brother David a while back, I preached a message years ago on how Satan destroys a nation.
Yeah.
And I went down the list with you, remember, and you said, oh my, that's right on target. And I said, amen.
Right.
You know what fellowship is? Jerry Falwell says it's being in a boat, paddling, you know. Fellowship is in a boat paddling the same way.
Yes. That's
don't
right.
Paddle against me. Paddle the same way.
Yeah.
So
right.
That's what that, anyway, he wants us to be confused about the truth or deny the truth.
Yes.
Wow. That's what the devil
right.
wants tonight. And so I'm not here to talk about the devil. I'm here to talk about the Lord and the
right.
salvation and the goodness of God. Amen. Now, I did a little research on this. I'm talking about the gospel salvation. You know, there's salvation in our physical salvation, you know, being saved from something physically, you know, like almost get hit by a car, you know, you could have been killed. Like this sister was talking about a while ago, you know. Somebody could have been killed, but they weren't. Saved from physical death. Saved that way. But most of the time, the Bible's talking about the saving of the eternal soul. The real you that lives in
yes.
your body, soul and spirit. Now, here's what I found, some research. How many religions are there in the world? Amen? Now, you don't have to be a preacher to understand this, or to even, you know, give this information out. Just research. There are five basic faiths in the world. Five basic faiths, dominant faiths in the world. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, and Christianity. Now, we don't consider Christianity a religion. We consider Christianity the truth.
Yes.
Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
That's right.
I'm not here with just a good religious idea. If it doesn't work, we'll try plan two. No, this is it. Truth.
Yep.
Signed, sealed, delivered. Never to be changed. But that's what's happening. They have changed. Man has added to, taken away from, confused people with ideologies and ideas. And people just, you know, they do this. What am I to believe? There's so many religions. How do you know you got the right one? And all this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the five basic religious faiths in the world today. Now, there are actually 10, they say over 10,000.
Right.
But most everything is reduced down to these five major ones of faith. Now, and then I also found from a survey by Pew Research, which some of the most reliable researchers around when it comes to, you know, religious calculations and so forth. The number one faith system is in America is Christianity, of course. 65% of the adults in America profess faith in Christ.
Hmm.
I wish that were so.
Yes.
We would have a whole different thing in America going on.
Yeah.
There's one thing to have hid faith in Jesus Christ and another to have a commitment unto the Lord.
Right.
Or salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
See, it's and when they took these surveys, it's not so much not by profession of faith, but rather it's like taking it from survey, like when you join the military. When I joined the military, you know, they ask you what religion you were. Now, I wasn't a Christian then. I wasn't saved. I belonged to a church, but I wasn't saved. I mean, you know, you can walk into a garage, that won't make you a car. You can walk
yeah.
into a horse stable, it won't make you a horse, right?
That's right.
That's right.
Going to church don't make you a Christian. It just helps you to live a better life.
Yeah.
and to show you the way of salvation if they're preaching the truth. But in this survey, the 65%, it's kind of like when I signed that, when I went in the military and I signed that where it says what religion are you, and they give a different denominations and all. I said, well, I'm not an atheist. And my parents are Methodist, so I just put Methodist, you know. And they had walked me down front church on Easter Sunday morning when I was about 9 years old, you know, and the preacher sprinkled some water on my head and declared me a Christian. I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't saved. You don't get saved by water being sprinkled on your head and a prayer said. No. We understand that, but religious world don't understand that. Okay, and then some marked a block, you know, Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, and on, Lutheran, and on it goes. Okay. Over 200 denominations, okay, there's over 200 denominations in the breakdown here, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, and so forth, and all kinds of isms and schisms off from that.
Yes.
Now, the great divide is in the United States when it comes to what we would say religion would be, or Christianity would be, Catholic and Protestants. And the Catholics, it's tradition, ceremonies, sacraments, the seven sacraments, and justified before God by, you know, carrying out these initiatives. And but when it comes to Protestantism, it's you know, Martin Luther, who became the one that led to protest during the Reformation. You know, he realized you're justified by faith in the finished works of Jesus Christ on
right.
the cross, his
That's
death,
right.
burial, and resurrection, and not by any good that we can do or any ceremonial thing we can do to take our sins away. And so that's what started the Protestant Reformation, and that's why we got Catholics and Protestants. Now, 23% of the population in America are Catholic. And Protestants, there's put all the Protestant denominations together, there's 141 million. That means 43% of this population are Protestant. And 23% are Catholic. And that's where it goes back to. Now all false religions, there's a lot of them in it. Well, here's the thing. All false religions, they either have no Bible, or they do not have an understanding of the Bible, or if they have a Bible, They add other writings or other books to their religious ideas.
Right.
Like, well, you now Islam believes in Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible.
No.
Mormons believe in Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible. The Watchtower group, I call them Russellites, not Jehovah Witnesses. They're Russellites. They're followers of Charles Taz Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a translation called the New World Translation, and they change it about every 2 or 3 years. And so what I'm saying, and plus they use the Bible, they call it the Bible, but false religion either adds to the Bible, or which causes confusion, or they take away from what the Bible says.
Yes.
Now, Christian Science, well, first of all, it's not Christian and it's not science. But anyway, Murray Baker Glover Patterson Eddy was the founder of the Christian Science movement religion. And she wrote a book called Science and Health with Keys to Scriptures. I remember when I was in the military, I went to chapel one day, and I reached over and I thought it was a Bible, and I picked it up, and it was that book there that she had written. And I began to read that, and I said, that don't sound like the Bible to me.
Yeah.
I said, of course I want to be healthy, you know, and so forth. But I read a little bit of it, and it was so confusing, you know. But anyway, a lot of false religions, God bless you women, you trust in Jesus and love your husband, love your children, grandchildren.
Yes.
Try to make America a great place and be a great example and all that. God bless you. But most false religions and cults are started by women.
Hmm.
And this Bible says a woman is not even to teach a man in church.
Yes, that's right.
Teach children. Live a good life. Be good to your husband, faithful and all that. That's where your ministry is. And they're not to teach men. You know, that's in the book of Timothy, we know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, all this I wanted to bring out tonight. 1 in 5 follow, in America, follow one of these 5 faithisms. Faiths of Islam, Buddhist, Hindu, Judaism, Christianity. there are over 1.25 billion people in the world that profess no religion at all. And then there's over 1 billion that profess either non-religion or being agnostic. Agnostic means one without a knowledge of God. Or an atheist, and that is one who they do not believe in any kind of a God whatsoever. And as a matter of fact, they are anti-religious. They believe religion is what's troubling the world.
Yes.
Well, false religion is troubling the world.
Yes, that's right.
Not the truth. The truth brings deliverance. It brings stability. It brings morality. It brings what a nation needs to be built on. Our country was built on Christian principle. Our Constitution the people that put together our Constitution, a lot of them were Christians.
Yes.
And trust in the Lord, believe the Bible, and it's all through the Constitution. I got a copy right here. Got 10 commandments in it. And it also has the principles of the Communist Manifesto, which we are being infiltrated with right now. And so we need to pray and do what we will do while we can, while we still got the freedom to do it.
Yes.
Now, but what I'm talking about tonight is, I'm concerned about false religion. It has deceived millions of people all over the world from generation to generation. I'm concerned about people who are locked into these religious systems and nations that they were born into, and they think they've got to be an Islam, or they've got to be a Hindu. That's all they know. That's all they've ever been taught. The only way you can reach people like that is through the internet, through television, through media, social media, and missionary work.
Right.
But today it's become so dangerous carrying the gospel to some of these countries. Many of them are being killed, and so now we're using other means to get the gospel in there. But that's the only hope. Because without the truth, there can be no real deliverance, because religion does not answer the real needs of people.
Right, that's right.
So they got to have the truth. But what the scripture we just read here tonight, I'm going to read a couple other scriptures, and we're talking, that little chart I just gave you right there, okay. Alright, the Old Testament, then we got the cross, the church age here, that goes up to the rapture of the church. They say that's not, there are many who are just saying today that's not going to happen, it's not a true event, church is going through the tribulation. Not at all. The tribulation is for Israel, not the church.
Yes.
You cannot confuse Israel with the church.
That's
the
right.
Church has not replaced Israel. What do they call it? British Israelism? No, no.
Yep.
The church has not replaced the Jew.
Yep.
No, we're one in Christ. Jew or Gentile, we're one in Christ.
Amen.
But the church is a total distinct institution originated by God Almighty through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we got the church age, which we're living in right now.
Right.
And most people believe that we're coming down to the end of this age, and I think we are. We can see it happening. But anyway, the rapture of the true believers. I'm not talking about people who've got the name on church roll. I'm talking about people who have had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, who've been born again, saved by the grace of God. I'm talking about people, that's the church. The rest of this is just an organization.
Right.
And so the Jesus comes for the church at the end of this church age we're living in right now, which is the age of grace, takes out the believers, and we meet the Lord in the air, the scripture says in Corinthians, and Thessalonians and other places. We meet the Lord in the air. See, he comes, the body of those loved ones already gone, their bodies be resurrected from the dead, and we who are living that know the Lord, we will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to be with the Lord Jesus. And if you study that word air, he comes in the air or in the cloud, that's about 6,000 feet above planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming back to the Earth, not the moon, not Mars, not Jupiter. He's coming back to the Earth.
Right.
That's why he put us here. This is where he wants. I'm not interested in going no moon, no stars, nowhere else. If I go that far, I want to keep on going. I don't want to come back here. All right, so we're going to be raptured out. I wouldn't believe it if it wasn't in the Bible.
Right.
They say, well, the word rapture's not there, but the word caught up is, and that's what rapture means.
Yeah.
It's there. And one of the wonderful country music singers who has now really come out with his faith, his daddy was a preacher and a man of God, and he has come back to the Lord, and he's got his own TV going now on YouTube where you can pick it up. Lord, pray for me, I'm losing my memory still. I think about that for a while. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, he had a conference with Tucker. You know Tucker, the commentator?
Yeah.
We need to pray because he's really searching for the Lord, I think.
Yes.
He read the whole Bible through, and he said a year and a half ago he decided to read it. So he'd know what's in there.
Yes.
He thought, I ain't want no commentary, I just want to read the Bible. And he did. He's a very sincere man, good man.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's come to realize, that he needs Jesus as his Savior because he's a good man and he thinks he's okay because he's a good man. Yeah. And he is a good man. And he sees through what's happening in our country, and he's trying to wake people up politically. Mm-hmm. But he needs to be woken up spiritually, and I think he's coming to that. Pray for his salvation.
Right.
Good man. I love the man. He's a great man. What am I talking about? I was talking about tribulation. The church is not going through tribulation. That's for Israel. It's a time of Jacob's troubles, it's called.
Yep.
It's called many. It has many other titles. It's referring to a distinct time after Jesus comes and takes the church to heaven. And then after the tribulation, this world has not seen anything compared to what's going to happen during the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally don't think the Antichrist can manifest himself until the church is gone.
That's right.
But if you want to look this up, you can look for the Antichrist car. It's in Los Angeles, California. They've already made it for him. And it's made of solid gold. Take a look at it. You can get it on your phone. And it's made for the Antichrist, made pure gold.
Wow.
And he's already got his car, he's going to show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a laughing matter. He's a demon, he's a devil. He's a devil in car. And the temple, listen, the temple has got to be built before the tribulation. Because the Antichrist, he declared, he seemed to be the one that had the solution to all these problems we got in the whole world. He's a unifier. He's going to unify the world in what? One religion, one government, and one economy.
Right. Yep.
We can see it coming. I mean, we can see the clouds gathering, can't we?
Yep.
So we're really getting toward the end of the church age, and the tribulation will begin, and the Antichrist will come on the scene and reveal himself that he is God, and he will place an image of himself in the temple. So a temple is going, the third temple is going to be built in Jerusalem.
Right.
I don't know how all that's going to work out because, you got the Arab and Israeli conflict and all this, and properties as the word of being so forth. So I don't know about all. I do know this. The Zionists over there have already got the garments made for the priests. They have already got everything they need to set up temple worship. It's all in order. It's ready to go.
Right.
All they lack is the temple. And so, you know, I think that's got to take place. We got to see that. Now, after the tribulation, which is 7 years, the first 3.5 years is kind of calm. Antichrist makes peace with Israel for 3.5 years, breaks the contract, and in other words, even before the ink dries, he breaks it. He's a liar, you know. He's not the truth. He's the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And then that peace treaty is broken, and then the judgments of God begin to fall upon planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's during this time that the everlasting gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, is being proclaimed. Listen, we're preaching now. Listen, judgment is coming. Jesus is coming. We're headed for the tribulation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And you don't want to be here to go through that. And it can happen at any moment. You know. Now, so... And many don't believe. In spite of that, they don't believe. Now, so, in the tribulation, there's 144,000 Jewish evangelists, which are Christians now. They become believers in Christ. They begin to evangelize around the world.
Yes.
And that's what Jesus was referring to in Matthew 24. You can look these scriptures up later if you like, but Matthew 24, the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus, his disciples are asking him about the end of time. And Matthew 24, verse 14, and Jesus is answering them and giving them a breakdown of things to look for and so forth. And he says in verse 12, Matthew 24, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Yes.
But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. The end of what? He's talking about during the end of the tribulation.
Yep.
He that lives through that, you know, and you would think everyone's destroyed. At one time, one third of the whole population is destroyed, but there are people that are going to live through that. Unbelievable, and they endure to the end of that tribulation. Then they go into the kingdom of God. These are those who have believed, the 144,000 Jewish preachers that the Lord has sealed for them. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So this is the time period here after at the end of the tribulation, and people will be converted, be saved during the tribulation, particularly those that have not heard the way of salvation, but they will hear the way of salvation. And during all this chaos going on in the tribulation, during all this chaos, unbelievable. You read Revelation 6 through 19, and you know it's. You know, people are horrified just to read it. And so those that live through that are going to go into, they will be saying, listen, we know disasters all around, everything's crumbling, but trust in Jesus, he's going to set up the kingdom.
Yes.
Okay? Jesus returns, see, there's two events in the second coming of Christ. The first event is the rapture, when he comes for the church. The second event is when he comes back with the church and the redeemed, brings them back to planet Earth from heaven. Amen. And he sets up his kingdom. You see, man's ruling now. Evil's ruling now. Satan's the god of this world. Small G-O-D. Hallelujah to God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
He's Lord over it all. He has all power.
Yes.
He can do anything, anytime he wants to.
Yep.
He's God. Amen. In flesh. And so Jesus will come back to Jerusalem. Amen. That's why the Bible says pray for peace in Jerusalem. This world can't have peace until Jesus is in Jerusalem.
Yes.
We will have wars, rumors of wars right up until then. We will have the judgment during the tribulation that the church is gone. But when Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom, he's going to be in Jerusalem. And then right, the Bible says righteousness shall reign. I don't have the exact verse, but I know it's Isaiah 66, I believe. Isaiah 66, I forgot to look this up. But it says right in there that during that time, the kingdom of God, see, the average lifespan is going to be 1,000 years then. You say, how's that going to happen? I don't know. Somebody's going to fix the ecology problem, aren't they? Somebody's going to fix the disease problem. Somebody, well, the average life will be 1,000 years during that span of time. So something's going to really happen. Well, the curses will be partially lifted, you know, when Jesus comes. And most all your prophets of the Old Testament prophesied about the golden age, you know, the kingdom of God toward the end of the writing. And then also John the Baptist, he preached the kingdom of God, didn't he? He said, the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yeah.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord, you know. And so forth. And then Jesus comes. And what does Jesus preach? He preaches about the kingdom of God.
Yes.
The kingdom of heaven has relationship to Israel primarily. When the Lord takes over Jerusalem and sets up his kingdom for the whole world.
You know? Yes.
Righteousness shall rule. Sin rules today. Righteousness rules it. But anyway, when Jesus sets up his kingdom and he's in Jerusalem and instruction is being given out to those who go back to their countries and explain who Jesus is and what's going on in the world then, and many millions will believe and be saved. And Jesus, he preached about the kingdom. John preached about the kingdom. All the prophets mentioned, most all the prophets mentioned the kingdom, which is 1,000 years. Now, in Isaiah 66, it's toward the end of the chapter there. Apologize, I didn't look it up. Forgot to. But anyway, that's some homework for you, right? And it says there that a child will die at 100 years old. See, the lifespan is going to be 1,000. Now, today, it's, in Scripture it says 70 and if by reason of strength, 80. Yeah. I'll be 81 this month. I'll live to see it, brother.
Wow. Praise God.
I'm weak in body, but I tell you what, I'm strong in spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Looking
Amen.
Unto Jesus. He's my strength. He's my all.
Yes, that's right.
And couldn't hardly talk a while ago, but I'm getting pretty strong right now.
Yeah, amen.
Anyway, God's on the throne. He's
Lord
in control
prayer.
Of all this
amen.
Thing. You know? It don't do us no good to worry. You know, they say worry is just like being in a rocking chair. A lot of activity, nothing going on.
Yep.
You know, and you don't go nowhere.
That's right.
And most things we worry about don't even happen anyway.
Amen.
So why worry when you can pray?
Yeah.
But you're right over the door of many people today is, why pray when you can worry?
Yeah.
Mm. Just turn it around. Why worry when you can pray? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you pray about, things that worry you. You say, well, let's stop worrying. No, you just worry less.
Yeah.
Amen. You
That's
worry
right.
less.
You're praying. Yeah.
That's right. All right. Now, so the kingdom of God. Here we go. At 10 years old, you'll die as a child 10 years old. But here's what happened. The Lord will give you 100 years. It's in Isaiah 66. 100 years during that time to believe he is who he says he is.
Right.
You would think anybody would believe it after all this had happened, and there he is. You would think, you know, but still the devil is still a devil, you know,
yep.
and still a deceiver. And so he gives them that long, 100 years to get, I said 10 years a while ago, didn't I? I think I meant to say 100.
Yeah.
100, a child will die at 100 years old. We consider a child like 10 years old, but 100 years old and still being sick. As far as age would go, because you can live to be 1,000. Wow, that's unbelievable. But it's there. And so I think, if I understand this right, they have 100 years to believe Jesus is who he says he is, and submit to his power and control and believe upon him and be converted, or the next, hey, after they turn 100 years old, the very next day, the first sin they commit, they drop dead. Righteousness rules.
Wow.
You can curse God today and live, but not then. You know, you can curse Jesus. You can curse the church. You can do that and still get forgiveness. But in that day, I believe the next day after they turn 100 years old, righteousness is ruling. Jesus, holiness is here. And I mean, they just drop dead. Well, in our flesh sometimes we'd like to see it happen now, wouldn't we? But we can't do that. Yeah. We need to pray.
Amen.
And witness. And, you know, consider them your very own family, you know, that could be lost.
Yes.
They need the Lord. That's the only difference between you and us. I mean, you and me and those out there without Christ is Jesus. That's the only one that makes, that's all that makes the difference.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm having a hard time tonight, and I know it. God knows it. You know it. But that don't matter. Hey, it's still good. It's
yes,
all good.
It's all good.
I'd rather be here in the best jail in North Carolina.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Even Andy Griffin and Barney's jail.
I'd
still rather be here. Amen.
Lord.
That's right.
Here it is, folks. I hope that chart helps you understand some things. And, but there's a gospel of the kingdom. There's a gospel of grace. Well, we need to hit that one in Acts 20:24. Can I take just a few more minutes here?
Yeah.
Acts 20:24. Let's see. I know it's after John. Acts 20:24. I don't know if anybody's listening on that radio out there tonight, but just don't go nowhere. Stay with us. Amen.
Yeah.
We're almost there. Acts 20 verse 24.
Oh, boy. I got it right here. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
So there you had the gospel of the grace of God. You got the gospel. That's what we preach now, the gospel of grace. We don't preach the kingdom of God.
That's right.
We preach the grace of God.
Amen.
Now,
that's right.
Those who have received the grace of God, which is through Jesus Christ, when he saves us, then we will be in the kingdom, but we're preaching the grace of God for now.
Yes.
And the kingdom of God will come.
Amen.
Now, the church will not usher in the kingdom by spreading the gospel around the world. No, we're just spreading the seed so people can get the truth, that they may be saved, and then they will be in the kingdom when Jesus sets up the kingdom. The church is not going to set up the kingdom. The church is not the kingdom.
That's right.
Jesus is going to set up the kingdom after the tribulation. So this is a little chart to help you understand it. And then, let me get this one in. Ephesians 6:15. What I'm trying to say tonight is religion has never saved anybody.
That's right.
It's only brought confusion. And the reason we got so many denominations, let me throw this. The reason we got so many denominations, it's very simple. I think it's 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed,
yes,
rightly dividing the word of truth. There's the problem. Is dividing the word of truth.
Yeah.
And you've got to have the Holy Spirit to understand the Bible, and you certainly got to have a Holy Spirit and a calling of God to teach it.
Yes.
So that people can understand it.
Amen.
That's the work of the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest teachers I ever sat under was Dr. Charles Stevens in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, the founder of Piedmont Bible College, which is now an international Bible college. Training young people and pastors all over the world. And one of the greatest teachers I ever sat under, And he said, one of the greatest compliments I ever had. And he was an old man, and like me now. Yeah. He said, was when a little six-year-old boy walked up to me and said, Pastor, I really understood what you said today. He said, that's the greatest compliment I ever got. When you can relate to a child, you know you can reach the others, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Where am I at now? Ephesians 6:15. Anybody got it?
Yes.
All right.
And your feet shod with the preparations of the gospel of peace. That's 6:15, Ephesians.
That's right.
Yes, the gospel of peace. It's talking about the armor of God as believers, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And our feet are to be shod with the preparation of God. In other words, where we walk, where we go, you know, carry the peace of God. Carry the gospel of peace. You know, the Bible says that God is at enmity with us until we come to believe on Jesus and repent and receive Christ.
Amen.
He's at enmity with, why? Because he's holy and he's just.
Yes.
And he's got to judge sin because he's holy.
Right.
But all the judgment of sin fell upon Jesus, according to 1 Peter 2:24. He bore our sins in his body on the tree, speaking of the cross. So what has God done with your sins? He placed them on Jesus.
Yes.
Why? Because they got to be paid for in order for a just, holy God to let a sinner into heaven. Because we don't go in with our sins. They have been forgiven. They have been taken away from us.
Amen.
They haven't just been covered. They have been forgotten. They've been taken away. And there's one thing God cannot, well, several things God cannot do according to his own word. One is remember our sins.
Yeah.
He's placed them behind him. They have been done away with. And you know, in the book of Matthew, it says you have to be perfect to go to heaven. Do you know that? You got to be perfect. Go to, how are you going to be perfect? How am I going to be perfect? I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I foul up every other day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
And but anyway, we know we all fall short, right? Even as Christians, we fall short.
Yes.
But watch it. Watch it now. He bore our sins in his body. So he bore them all, past, present, and future. You see, time only relates to us. It doesn't relate to God. He's timeless. So he sees us. You know, it was in the future when Jesus died. It was in the future that you and I came along. So
right.
He paid for our sins. You know, our past, our present, and even our future one. Well, if our future sins are forgiven, then I can just go out here and just do what I want to. Everything's all. No, that's called presumptuous sin. That's serious sin. No, we're not to do it. We're here to glorify the Lord, right? But
that's right.
If he sin. In other words, it means since you will, you're not perfect, you know, we're forgiven sinners. All right.
Right.
We confess. Now, confessing sin so we can stay saved? No, confessing sin so we can stay in fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
We have a relationship with God when we trusted Jesus as our Savior.
Right.
But
that's
in order
right.
to stay in fellowship, we must rebound with confession of sin. And it's forgiven the moment we confess. And that keeps the flow going. That keeps mm-hmm. the good atmosphere between us and God. That keeps the good spirit going, you know.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say tonight. Well, anyway. That's what I had on my mind, heart tonight. I'm fed up with religion. I love the truth. And I think a lot of the confusion we got in America today when it comes to the church has to do with wrongly dividing the word of truth, not rightly dividing the word of truth. And that takes a lot of study, a lot of prayer. And you got to have the Holy Spirit or you can't communicate nothing. You know, the Lord has to do that. And I've pastored 44 years, believe it or not. I don't know how they stood me that long, but they did. But anyway, a few of them come to the Lord. Some of them end up ministry, you know, and so forth. But here's the thing. I always say that. I said, listen, I'm not, oh, by the way, we are perfect in Jesus.
Yes.
God sees us as perfected.
That's right.
In Christ, as far as our soul, our relationship.
That's right. Justified.
We belong to Jesus.
Right.
We belong to the Father. Okay, you get to the Father through the Son. Without the Son, you don't know the Father. Jesus said, you have your father the devil.
Right.
If you don't believe. You cannot bless, yet there is no such thing as an unpardonable sin today. That could only be committed when Jesus was here. And when they attributed his work, the works of Jesus, as the devil, that was blasphemy.
Yes.
That was, so, you know, it's, now, the only unforgivable sin today is not to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm through with this. When I was 16 years old, I heard the gospel for the first time in my life, and I went to church every Sunday for years at a denominational church. And that preacher preached the gospel, a young man. I mean, he just preached it, laid it right out, so even a six-year-old would understand it, so I could understand it. Mm-hmm. And I saw my need for Christ, but I didn't go down that night and to receive the Lord. It wasn't my time. God was ready, but I wasn't ready. Anyway, he gave it. You know, he said this. He said, come and take Jesus as your Savior tonight. He gave the invitation. Many went. And I just didn't have the courage to do it. I'm too ashamed or whatever. I afraid I couldn't live or something, you know. So I didn't go. And I said, well, I'm not going to receive the Lord tonight, but I'm not going to reject him. And then before I got that thought in my mind, he said this. He said, now if you don't receive him, you are rejecting him.
Sorry.
And that's the only unforgivable sin today, and that is to reject Jesus as Savior.
Amen.
That is to reject God, mm-hmm. salvation. And I will go through the plan of salvation through Scripture, but that would take another half an hour. And it's just not right now. But anyway, we'll work on that later. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hey, Pastor Howard Slough, home group meeting, 20 August 2024. God bless.